Be seated if you can. God bless you. God bless. Please be seated. What a joy it is to be with you. And wow, this is an incredible outpouring of God's love and mercy and generosity. And I want you with me to celebrate amazing, powerful gospel music. Come on, let's praise God. Amen. For these, they're not performing, they're worshiping. And they're giving God. Turn it up. All right, we're back. Let's go to Joshua 24, verse 15. Prayerfully, I can get you out of here by 2 o'clock today if the Lord would give me the grace and wherewithal to do it. Joshua 24, wow. I stepped right in the midst of a river, and I feel like I'm already swimming in it. This is an absolute amazing time of worship and praise and honoring God. And I believe that it is befitting that we understand that you cannot have a church with a move of God and a dead pastor. If the church is alive, it's because the candlestick is lit. But if the church is dead, the casket is in the pulpit. Now, how many of you can say we have a great man and woman of God leading us? Come on, let's celebrate our leader. God bless you, Pastor. Come on, let's thank God for him and his amazing wife and amazing family. The word of the Lord in Joshua chapter 24. Let's start with verse number 13. And it reads like this. You can sit for the reading of the Lord's word and hopefully and pray with me that the Lord would give me the grace to deliver this word. I gave you land you had not worked on. I gave you towns that you did not build. The towns you are now living. I gave you vineyards, olive groves, though you did not plant them. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever idols from your ancestors. They worshiped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. And then he says, serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Will you prefer the gods of your ancestors, ones they served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the God of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But notice this particular phrase, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Would you declare that over your house? As for me and my house and everything in it, we are going to serve the Lord. We're going to make room. We're going to be hospitable. We're going to host God in a very special and amazing way. God bless you. I want to talk to you for a few moments from this theme, God's hand over my house. And I want you to know that there is no secret sauce. I want you to know there is no secret at all of what God can do. What he's done for other folk, God will do for you. And this week is another week that God won. Another week that God showed us that he's God and nobody else is God but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I started this week off in the hospital on bed rest, and your pastor didn't even know it. I canceled all of my appointments, and if that wasn't enough, I got a letter from an email from my son's school. On Tuesday, my son Jaden, unbeknownst to him, while in school, two men came to my son's school. with guns, and they could not get in the school. And the FBI and the GBI of the state of Georgia were investigating online chatter, and they found that my son's school was targeted by terrorists, and two young teenagers came to my son's school, not Hezbollah, not Sunni or Shiite Muslims, not illegal immigrants from Mexico, but two young teenage boys went to my son's school on Tuesday. But prayer, a praying church, a praying mother, a praying father, and every day I wake up, I pray over my son. And I don't just pray Mary had a little lamb, but I get down in the floor and take my wig off. I get down in the floor and plead the blood over my son. Because I know every day of my life and my son's life that the enemy comes in like a flood. Every day of your children's life, the enemy is plotting and planning to steal, kill, and destroy. But somebody do like this. But God's hand, his protection is over my house. It's over my family. And it's over this church. How many of you can say that the devil has planned, plotted, conspired? He has set in motion destruction to come for your house. But the fervent, effectual prayer of righteous men and women availeth much. And if it had not been for your praying mama, your praying grandma, and some of you got grandmas that are not even alive, but before they died, they put the blood over the doorposts. Before they died, they put the blood over you. And you're not alive because of a rabbit foot, a black magic, or white magic, or Santeria. You are alive because God's hand is over your life. Joshua understood more than anybody in the Bible, and he made a clear choice. As for me and my house, we're gonna serve God. And I grew up not only in a black house, I grew up in a sanctified house. And my mama was backstage saved. My mama was the kind of woman that wears stilettos, a big hat with feathers going everywhere, and my mama sings in the choir. And if I went online right now, my mama is in the choir this morning. And right about now, it's about 12:20, my mama got her hand on her hip. She done cocked her head to the side, and my mama is doing this. And her mama did it. And her mama did it. And I'm fifth generation Pentecostal. My family has been in it before it got cool. Before we had Maverick City. Before we had Elevation. My family was in it when we had no cushion for our cushion, no air condition, no wall-to-wall carpet. We are in it from the beginning of the 19th century. Pentecostal, full gospel, Holy Ghost-filled people. And I know that we live in a modern society where we got Xanax and Zoloft and counselors, and we got folk that will give you 5 steps to a turnaround, 10 steps to get off drugs, 7 steps to heal your marriage. But when I was a child, they greased you up like a pig at a state county fair and laid hands on you and believed that there is nothing impossible with God. And I need a witness in this house that can say you can have all that modern technology, but the power of the risen Christ in my life over everything. God's hand over my house. Joshua's statement, number one, was personal. As for me, it was powerful. It was persuasive, and it was prophetic. Joshua understood the necessity and how important it is to live all out for God, how important it is to raise our children in the fear of God. He understood that God must be first, and God is not a part-time lover. God is not just a 911. He understood that when God is first, everything falls in line. He understood when God is first that the enemy cannot come through the barrier or the wall when God is number one. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the presence, in the house of God every day of my life. Now, I don't understand how folk come to church late and leave early. Can't wait to get out of here. Can't wait to get to the restaurant. Can't wait to get to the golf range. Can't wait to get off the lake to the lake. Can't wait to get to the remote. But for me, to be able to worship with you in Alabama, to be able to praise God with folks that have gotten miracles, that have gotten healed, that have gotten blessed, just for me to be in the room with people that can say, I had cancer, I had a stroke, I had a heart attack, but look at me today in this place praising God. I need about 5 folk that's a miracle to help me praise God if God has been good to you every day of your life. Ask for me. Ask for me and my house. We have already made the decision that we're going to serve the Lord. This young man got up out of his seat and went on the stage and started praying for this man of God. Unashamedly, without worrying about what folk were going to say. And it's hard to serve God when you're worried about what folks think. When you're worried about what folk gonna say. It's hard to worship God when you're modeling your new clothes or showing off your hairdo or trying to show folk how long your lashes are. But if God has done something great in your life, if God ever turned things around, you can't just sit there. You got to give him glory. As for me and my house, my sister was killed in a wreck, and my mother, after Melanie died, my mother got everybody up on Sunday morning and she said, get up. For what? I said, get up. Where we going? And she said, we going to church. Right. To where? We going to church. Because this is what we do. When we get in trouble, we don't run from God. We get closer to God. When the storm is raging, we don't hide from God. That's the moment we go all out and all in. That's the moment that we say, God, I need you now. We got the church, and one of the nicest women in the world said to my mother, she said, sister, we didn't think y'all would be back for about a month. And my mom's answer was, we have no place else to go. Lift up your hands and say, on Sunday morning, there's no place else to go. On Sunday morning, I don't want to be at the beach. I don't want to be at the mall. I don't want to be at the game. I don't want to be on the course. Now, you might do that, and I don't want you to feel condemned because that's your choice. I don't want you to feel bad because you only need two times a month, but God's been better to me than two times a month. God's been better to me than once a month, but all my life he's been faithful. All my life he's been good every step. My mama went in the choir, put her hand on her hip, cocked her head to the side. After the worst day of her life. As for me and my house, I remember your pastor got sick in Delaware, and it could have been went real bad. And I didn't think Brother Harvey was going to recover, but we went to church. His wife was facilitating the service. He didn't come the first night, the second night. And about Tuesday, he put his suit on. He put his towel on. And his wife was trying to figure out, now where you going? The next thing you know, he was in the car. And I was sitting next to him. And I was praying for him. And he didn't know I was praying for him. And he began to worship God. Because worship is not something you do. Worship is who you are. Praise is not what you do. Praise is who you are. And if God's been super good to you, it's very difficult for you to come and just complain about the lights and the carpet and the air and the heat. Honey, God's been so good to me. I got to give him the glory. I need a real worshiper in this house. As for me and my house, I told my son, I said, Jaden, did you know some people came to shoot up your school? And he said, I didn't even know. In other words, lean forward. Lean forward. God's done stuff for you that you don't even know. God has opened doors that you don't even know. He's made ways that you didn't even know. He's done things before you got there and you didn't even know he had been there, and it was a miracle and you didn't. And you mean to tell me you gonna come in this church and just sit down like you got cotton in Alabama? You ought to be praising and magnifying God based on the doors that he opened and the ways that he made. One of my best members made me some gumbo and brought it to my office. And I said, what's this for? They said, you don't remember 3 months ago you told us you wanted some? I said, well, I forgot. There's some things you've been praying for that you forgot. But God has not forgotten. And somebody needs to hear this. He's going to save your children. He's going to save your family. He's going to heal the person that's sick that you've been praying for. I need you to lift both of your hands as high as you can lift them and say, a miracle is on the way. Press down, shaken together, and run it over. God's hand is over my house. God is faithful. My son said, I didn't even know. And there's some things in your life you didn't even know. God was protecting you. God was covering you. And so Joshua said, as for me and my house, even though I'm only one step between me and death, Joshua makes a call to renewal. He recalls God's blessings and favor through Joshua 1 through 13. He reminded them of Abraham, their father, whose obedience to the one true and living God was truly outstanding and noteworthy. He connects that Abraham's seed was blessed. Not only was he blessed, his son was blessed, and his son's sons were blessed. I don't know who I'm talking to, but get ready for a legacy blessing from one generation to the next. God's hand over your children and your grandchildren. God's hand. Family members that haven't even been born yet. God's hand over each and every one of them. Brother Philip, Jane, and I, Tuesday, was moving some trash. And we were moving it, and we called in a company to take the trash away from our home. We didn't even know Dylan, but when they got the trash to the incinerator where they were going to burn it, they said, Reverend Ziegler, you need to be very careful. I said, what? We need to be careful. Said, in all that trash was two big snakes. And said, you picked it up, but the snake was hiding in that trash. And that's when they woke me up. But then it hit me. God's hand. And they said, when we threw the snakes in the fire and it burned up the trash, that's when I got happy. And I put my hand on my hip. I cocked my head to the side. Whoa! I feel like shouting. And somebody in here, a snake was set to bite you. A snake was set to destroy you. But God wrapped it up, drove it away, and threw it in the fire. If God whoever delivered you from the devil, help me praise him in this house. If God ever took the devil and put him under your feet, help me. I feel something. Put your hand on somebody and say, the devil can't kill you. The devil can't destroy you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They told me, my brother, they said, be careful. I said, ain't nothing to be careful about. Y'all done took the snakes away. God's hand over my house. Call out your address. Wherever you live, God's hand over my house. Think about all the houses that COVID went in and killed the whole family, but God's hand. Think of the houses where people have been laying in these houses dead for 5 and 6 days and nobody even visited but you. God's hand. Wave at me. Every week that you go through and you don't get bad news, every week that you go through and death and disease is not in your house, you ought to be shouting and praising God. And even if cancer is in your house, I got a word for you. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquity. And guess what? You're not going to die. You're going to live to see the goodness of the Lord. Don't give up on God. He has not given up on you. His hand. Hey, do like this. It's all over. Joshua said, he put the blood over our house. He put the blood. He slit the throat of a lamb and he put the blood over. And the devil says, I'm coming in this house. I can't go in there. Devil says, I'm coming in. Wait. I can't go in there. The blood. Wait a minute. I might be able to get in here, but the blood. Wait a minute. I'm coming in that house, but the blood. Watch this, Pastor. You and this is my niece and my nephew, and this is my nephew, ain't none of your business. But every day they put the blood. This boy, almost 30 years old, there's wife, but every day we put the blood. See, I don't have time for foolishness. I don't have time for drama. I don't have time for dumb games that church people want to play. I don't have time to argue about Somerton, about National. The devil is after my house and your house, and all I want, the blood. Do it. Find your family and say, the blood over your house. The blood. The blood. Come here, Pop. Come here, Dad. Come here, Dad. Come here, Father. Ain't none of your business. Ain't none of your business. Come on, Dad. Every day. every day. I don't wake up complaining. I don't wake up mad. I don't wake up envying people or jealous every day. We apply the blood every day. We say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I don't ever want you to be over there and me to be over here. I can't serve God and hate you. I can't serve God and envy you. When I'm over here and you over there, the devil got both of us. Communication can clear up misunderstandings. But every day, Satan wants to kill him. And he wants to kill me. But I got something for that devil. The blood. The blood. Cancer, I got the blood. Diabetes, I got the blood. Congestive heart failure, I got the blood. Sickness and disease, I got the blood. Anxiety and depression, I got the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Say yes. The blood. Lift your hands. If I die tomorrow, I put so much blood on Jaden. If I die tomorrow, I put so much blood on my son. He ought to live to be 100. As for me and we gonna what? 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 Wait, no. We gonna fight each other. We gonna compare ourselves to each other. We gonna have strife with one another. He's after your house just like he's after mine. So every day, the blood. I feel something. Open your mouth and praise him. The blood just stopped an attack. The blood just healed somebody's daughter. The blood just delivered somebody's son. The blood still works. The blood still has power. The blood still protects. The blood still covers. The blood still makes whole. The blood still washes. Lift your hands. I've covered your house. I've kept your house. I've sealed your house. I've protected your house. And I ask that you bring the sacrifice of worship, which is you, to my house. Rend your heart and not your garment. Present yourselves to me, and I will fill you with new power and new joy and new patience and new peace. Look to me, saith God, and I will solve this issue. Wave at him. Brother Harvey, if it's evil to you, if this ain't what you want to do, why are you here? If this ain't what you want, why are you here? Why come? Why come if this ain't what you want? Why come to fight and fuss and argue and look down at folk? If it's evil, find you someplace else to go. Somerton is not a social club. Somerton hasn't been doing this 100 years just to be doing it. God's been faithful. If these walls could talk, if the ceiling could talk, God has covered our homes. Do it. What a blessing. What a benefit. What a joy to know that I'm a part of a church that believes in a divine covering, that we are not just in a denomination, we're in the heart of God. We're not just another church in Alabama trying to make the newspaper. There's real miracles in here. I need a real miracle to wave your hand. Don't fool me. Don't fool me. I need a real miracle. Any real miracles should have been dead. Should have OD'd. Should have lost my mind. But God, Him has been on my life. And even when your kids wasn't doing what they were supposed to do, God covered them because of you. God protected them because of you. God saved them because of you. God delivered them because of you. God did something for them because of you. Two spies in the promised land stumbled up in Rahab's house. Y'all know Rahab, the hoochie mama, the prostitute, old nasty Rahab. Two men come in her house. And Rahab in Joshua chapter 2, verse 11, Rahab makes it clear, your God is the Almighty God. Let's go there. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is the God of heaven. When those two spies got in Rahab's house, Rahab started telling them how great their God was. I'm from Washington, and I came to Alabama to tell you how great your God is. I came on a plane just to tell you that there's some more miracles, there's some more breakthroughs. I came to tell somebody greater is coming, the best is yet to come. Your God is above every other God. Rahab's house was a brothel. Rahab's house was a place that meant men went incognito. Rahab was a hoochie mama. Rahab was nasty, ratchet, scandalous, sketchy. But when the men of God came, she opened the door. Y'all can go in the attic and y'all can hide in the attic. But before you go in the attic, would you spare my house? Would you spare my house? Which goes to suggest God is no respecter of person. Rahab, the harlot, house was right by the wall, easy access, and it was a whole lot of traffic. Whole bunch of folk coming in there. And they said, Rahab, they said two men came in your house. Rahab said, a lot of men come in here. Short men, tall men, skinny men, fat men, funny looking men. It's all kind of men coming in here. And Rahab hid the men in her house. Hid them in her house. And then they put a thread in the window. Said, destroy everybody's house but this one. And I want you to speak that protection over my house. Ain't nothing gonna happen in my house. There's nothing. I know you got a gun. We in Alabama. You got several guns. But what about when you can't get to it? God don't need a gun. God don't need anything. He is the kingdom. He is the power. He is the glory. We had a woman in our church, lived alone her whole life, and we dropped her off from church. Old Holy Ghost filled black woman. And she just shout all the time. She get on your nerves every time you see her, between the neck bones and the collard greens. God bless your sisters. And this crazy woman went home and a burglar was in her house. She goes in the door. The man comes up behind her and grabs her and starts choking her. True story. The woman starts speaking in tongues and turns around and lays the man out on the floor. She calls the police, and the police said, where's the man? He on the floor. The police goes, and the man is late. You better be careful when you mess with people that's connected to the Almighty God. You better be careful when you put your mouth or your hand on somebody that's in covenant with God. If God got his hand on you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Help me shout in this house, God's hand is over my house. Woman got delivered, and the woman told my grandfather, she said, I don't think I'm going back. They said, well, God just delivered you. You might as well go back. This woman never lived alone again. But when she needed God's power, he showed up. And I don't know who in this room, it's better to have him and not need him than to need him and not have him. God's hand over my house. If you got God's hand, just throw your hands up and say, thank you, Jesus, for your protection. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for every month you make the mortgage. Every month the lights are on. Every month we're strong. We can comb our own hair, brush our own teeth, wash our own body. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our houses. Can I go to another house? Give me about two more minutes. Give me 2 minutes. Give me two. Somebody give me 2 minutes. 2, 4, 6, 8. Who do we appreciate? Let's go to one more house. Let's go to Jairus' house. Jairus is a powerful man, but he can't fix his problem. Sometimes you got money, but you can't fix your problem. Sometimes you got the hookup, but you can't fix your problem. Sometimes you're important, but you can't fix it. And Jairus' daughter was about to die. And Jairus did what my grandma did. Jesus on the mainland. All right, that's enough. Because somebody about to pull out a tambourine. Jairus is a ruler. He's powerful. And he falls down at the feet of Jesus. And what does he want? Let's go to verse 23. And he begged him, come to my house. See, prideful people need to be in a situation where they can't fix it. You can't fix it. And how many of you, if you could fix it, you wouldn't need him? If you could fix it, you wouldn't call him. But Jairus said, my baby's sick. Lean forward. What you do when your baby's sick? What you do when you don't know what to do, but you got to do something? Jairus begged him, please come and lay your hand on my child. I got to go home, y'all. But God told me to tell you, he's about to lay his hand on your situation. Lift your hands and worship him. It's stage 4. It's stage 3. It's in the bone. It's in the lungs. It's all over their body. They've called hospice. They're not going to give us no more chemo. They're not going to give us no more radiation. They can't send us to Atlanta. They can't send us to Cleveland. They can't send us to Chicago. They can't send us to Emory. They can't get me to Duke. They can't get me to North Carolina. When you can't get to them, he will come to you. And God told me to tell you, he's on the way to your house. Somebody praise him. He's about to make a house call. Somebody praise him. He's turning the corner. Somebody praise him. He's on the way. I dare you to praise him before he gets there. Praise him before he opens the door. Praise him. Softly, I'll finish this tonight. Do like this. God's hand. God's hand, God's hand, God's hand, God's hand, God's hand. I got this little girl. I got this little girl. She's about to die. I got this little girl. She's about to die. Would you come? I got this situation. Would you come? I got this problem. Would you come? I got this diagnosis. Would you come? Lord, I'm hurting worse now than I've ever hurt before. Would you come? I got a bad past. Would you come? I know what it's like to have a bad marriage, and I know what it's like to be in a house fighting and warring and a house that you own. Would you come? I know what it's like to feel like you're losing hope and you're losing life and you're losing joy. Would you come? I know what it's like to be at your wit's end. Would you come? Would you come to my house? I want somebody in this room to symbolize, I need him to come to the house, to stand on your feet. I need him to come to the house. I need him. Oh, don't fool me. I need him. I need him. I need him to come to the house. I need him to come to the house. I need him to come straight to the house. Would you not stop? Would you just come on? Come all the way. It's getting bad. It's getting ugly. We're starting to lose hope. Would you please come? Would you please come? Would you please come? Let me tell you something. Last week, we had a funeral for a young man at our church. And his father said to me, he said, Bishop, I couldn't take no more. And I told my son, who has a drug problem, I told him, you got to leave. He said, I can't take no more. He said, he called his mom and dad, his grandparents, and said, can you just take him for about 2 weeks? We can't do this right now. Said, we're about to lose it. The boy went over to his grandparents 2 weeks ago and got missing in the middle of the night in Washington, D.C., got missing. Sometimes your kids do stuff to break your heart. Got missing. They found him dead in a car. And the father said to me, he said, Bishop, you don't know what it's like to be in a house that's fighting all the time, arguing all the time. You don't know. He said, Bishop, you don't know what it's like for the devil to have his hand on your house. But God is about to move the devil's hand off your house. Grab somebody and squeeze their hand and say, you had to be here this morning. You had to get here this morning because God's about to do a new thing in your house. God's gonna do a new thing in your family. Guess what? He's coming to your house. He's coming to your house. Would you come lay hands on this? Everyone's standing. Would you come lay hands on this? It's in this house. Would you come in the house and lay hands on this? Who in here got something God needs to lay his hands on? Wave at me. Get something and wave it. SOS. I need you to come and lay hands on this. Maybe it's the pancreas, maybe it's the lungs, maybe it's the heart, maybe it's a blockage, maybe it's a blood clot, maybe you're an AFib, maybe it's your stomach, you got ulcers, you're bleeding, maybe it's a migraine headache. I don't know what it is. If you can have it, he can heal it. Sister Kelly, really, maybe it's a bad marriage. Maybe y'all just ain't getting along. Maybe it's gotten dull. It's gotten dry. Maybe it's a teenager. My mom attends a sanctified church. And a young girl 2 years ago, 16 years old, her mom and dad are good people, sing in the choir. They went to church on a Wednesday night. Their daughter is home. She's watching YouTube. Unmercifully being bullied in her school. Unmercifully. And her mama and daddy on the verge of separating. And the 16-year-old girl snapped. Watching YouTube, she learned how to hang herself. And her mom and dad were at church, and she was home with a rope around her neck. Her mother and father come home, and the 16-year-old girl has managed to put a dresser in front of the door where they can't come in. And the mom said, "Bishop Ziegler, I knew something was wrong when we couldn't get..." Just because people look good on the outside don't mean they got it going on the inside. Oh, you got on your little clothes and you got your hair and you got your nails and you just look so cute, but you don't know what's going on in people. Kelly, no one knows what goes on behind closed doors. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors. You don't believe it? Ask Jim Baker. You don't believe it? Ask Jimmy Swaggart. You don't believe it? Ask some of these televangelists who mess up. They look so holy and so polished and so, oh, they're so proper and they got it going. But you don't know what goes on. But he's going to lay his hands on your house. And this is what I want to do. Come and lay hands on it. I want some of my leaders to come, and I want you to find some families. And if you got to get in the circle of 7 or circle of 8 or circle of 5 or circle of 4, maybe in the balcony on the main floor, I want you to get in a circle with a family. And I want you to put everything in that circle. There's some things going on in my house, in my family. If I could fix it, I would have fixed it. But Brother Turner, if you get in a circle with Dylan and his wife, but if you could find a circle, a threefold coil is not easily broken. But we're going to pray for your house. You might need a financial blessing or physical healing. But today, we want God's hand. I don't want no sickness in my house, no disease. I don't want attitude, and I don't want to go home and hate being there. I want to love being in my house with my family. If you would get in a circle right where you are, and I want you to pray for your house. It's serious business. If you can get in a group of 3 or 4, come on up and get in that group. And we pray for your family. For your Jesus. For your grandchildren. No more suicide. No more addiction. No more fear. Let me get through here. Look at, well, I need it too. Put it in the circle. Put it in the circle. I'm fighting for my family. Come on, baby. Get with this family. Get with this family. Hey! Squeeze that hand. Look at this. Pray for your families. Pray for your homes. Pray for your moms, your dads, your grandparents, your uncles. Everybody got a struggle. Let there be a miracle in my house. Let there be a breakthrough in my house. I don't want to go home to the same house. I don't want anger and resentment and depression. I don't want that in my house. I want my house to be blessed. I want my house to be covered. I want my house to be anointed. I don't want no enemy energy in my house. The enemy's energy. The power of God in your house. No sickness, no disease in your house. tell them, this is God's house. We just live in it. This is God's house. We just live in it. I'm not going to be depressed. I'm not going to be defeated. Not in my house. Not in my house. I want joy in my house. I want peace in my house. I want victory. Praise him, Christian. Praise him, Christian. Let him have his way. In your house, in your family. We pray for your family. In your house, in your family. In our homes. Bless Sarah's house. Anoint Sarah. Touch her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Give Sarah her heart's desire. Look at this. Pray for that family. Every drug addict, every alcoholic, every meth addict, every pill popper, Xanax, call out some, whatever, oxycodone, fentanyl, all this pain pill management, and you've gotten addicted to it, and you can't stop. In the name of Jesus, we break addiction. We break fear. We bind the enemy. Pray for families. Look at this. Folk praying for folk houses. You're not the greatest. You are in your anointing and when you're praying for somebody else's family. Look at this, Nana. Has God covered your house?
Yes, sir.
Has God covered your house?
Yes, sir. Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, I'm just lucky. I'm not lucky. Has God covered your house?
Yes, sir, he has.
Has God covered your house?
Amen. Everybody in it.
And everybody in it.
Everybody in it. That's
has God.
Jesus, hallelujah.
Oh, ho. Has God covered your house?
Yes.
Well, we're lucky. We're not lucky in the Ziegler house. Has God covered your house?
Yes, sir.
What about you? Has God covered your house?
Yes, sir.
What about you?
Always.
Has God covered you?
He's at work right now.
Wait a minute. Let me go in the balcony. Has God covered your house, baby?
Yes, sir.
Does he have his hand over your house right now?
Yes, sir.
What about you?
Yes, amen.
Has he covered you?
Yes.
Has he kept you? I know how you feel. Wait a minute, let me see. Somebody on the stage. Come here. You there. Has God covered your house? You. Yes. What about you?
Yes, sir.
What about you?
Absolutely.
Has God covered your house?
Absolutely.
Don't fool me. Yes. I need another witness. Hey, come my people over here. We did a DNA test and I found out we third cousins. Has he covered this house?
Yes, sir.
You heard her? Tommy,
yes, sir.
Has God covered your house?
House.
What about you?
Yeah.
What about you?
Yes, sir.
What about you? No doubt about it. Is it luck? Are you lucky? She said, no, I'm blessed. What about you? I can't hear you.
Yes, sir, all the time.
All the time. Wait a minute, let me get over here. Let me interview somebody back here. I'm tired of talking to y'all young folk. Y'all young folk don't know what you're talking about. Let me talk to some senior citizens. Anybody over 65? You? You over 65? Has God covered your house?
Several times.
Several times.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Has God covered your house?
Without a doubt.
Amen. He has.
Yes. What about you, Nana? What about you? Do it. He's covered us. You know how many times you could have been in the house of mourning? Your children out there driving could have flipped over and died. How many times you could have been a widow? Your husband out there driving, drunk driver coming, and the Lord move in the nick of time. Tell him thank you. Has God covered your house?
Always. Yes, he's been there.
What you say?
Yes, he's been there.
Been there with you?
Yes.
With the blood of Jesus, hallelujah.
He's covered that house.
Yes, always.
It's really his house. We just live in it. He let us live in it. Every square foot belongs to him.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, yes, yes.
He got his hand on it.
I'm covered.
Yes.
Covered with the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Yes.
You see, there is no secret sauce. These people are not pretending. These are real people who've been through real trials, who's faced real demons, and won and lived to tell the story. Whoa! What about you?
Always.
Always.
Yes. In Jesus' name, yes.
What about you, Nana? Every day.
Every hour. All of it. He's got me cooked.
Beautiful sun. Every day. I love it. What about you?
Yes. Yes.
I know you married to him. Yes. I know he's covered your house.
Amen.
What about you? Let me hear from one of these young folks.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Sir. How old are you? And he got enough sense to know. God covered his house. God covered his house.
Even when I didn't see it.
Even when he didn't see it.
He got my house.
Well, I know he did, baby. Yeah. That woman is shouting Walmart. What about you, baby?
Yes, he lives in our house.
Lives there. In the balcony? In the balcony. He's covered us. Do it. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. If God covered your house.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
See, I want you to hear folk say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Pastor.
Yes.
Yes.
Has the Lord covered your house?
Yes.
How many times? How many ways?
I can't count the ways.
He's been good to your whole house.
My whole house.
Family.
Yes.
Have been blessed.
Blessed.
You've
abundantly.
You've benefited.
Yes.
In how many ways have you benefited?
I can't count the ways. Yes, he is there.
You wouldn't have made it. Our first lady, let's hear from our first lady. She got kids living, have had kids living all over the country. And she wasn't there. But she had to pray. You tell them, has God covered your family?
God has covered my family. Hallelujah.
Hand on your house.
Amen.
Who wouldn't want that? As I turn it over to our leader, I don't want to do nothing for God to move his hand off my house. And before God and this man of God, I want you to make a vow. Now, don't make a vow if you're not going to keep it. God, I don't want to do nothing to move your hand off of my house. I got a son that I want to live godly. I want him to live holy. I want your hand. Would you make a vow? Lord, I don't ever want nothing to get between me and you. I don't want nothing in my heart against nobody. Because if I regard iniquity in my heart, you won't hear me. And so today, your hand over everything.